T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Ah, yes, a beautiful Friday. Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley filling in. And yes, I am with the coolest dude in Houston, Mr. Wonderful Clint Sterner. How you doing today, baby?
Man, I'm beautiful. Like I told you, if I was any better, I'd need a twin. It is a beautiful day out here, isn't it, boy?
I'm telling you. And let's get down to business, man. The newest Texan. You know, yeah. Hey, don't say nobody ain't doing nothing. The newest Texan, Randall Cobb, spoke today. And I'm curious, was there anything or many things, if I'm dealing with you, that stood out to you from what he spoke about?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm yet to hear it. I'm waiting to hear what we got, man, when we bring it to the air. So, you know, I'm anxious. I'm anxious as anybody out there to hear what got him here. You know, he said he had some conversations with Bill O'Brien about coming here and how he was going to be used, and so I'm anxious to hear some of that and take it from there.
No, I mean, there were, like, I did some reading and heard a couple of the clips from Clint. There were a few things that stood out to me. I think one of the top things, basically him saying it was between Dallas and Houston, and the way he's being used and how he's been told he's going to be used is one of the things that got him here. And Clint, man, I got to give it to you. I think you're right here. Now, I'm with you. I don't know if it's the best thing for the offense. But I honestly believe they just told that man, you're going to be used like Julian Edelman. We view you like Edelman, Welker in this offense. We haven't had a slot guy yet, Clint, that we can use that way. And that's how we view you're going to be. And you get to play with Deshaun Watson. I think that turned him up. And I think that's how they're going to look at you. Said it. You said they go out and paid this type of money for a slot receiver who's had experience like that. It's an upgrade from Carter. It's an upgrade from QT. I think you're right. I think that's exactly how they're planning to use him.
Yeah, I mean, and look, there's a lot of value in a good slot that can recognize defenses and can you know, be a safety net for a quarterback, not just a young quarterback, but a quarterback of any age at this point in time, to be completely honest with you. And so there's definitely some value in that guy being with the Houston Texans. And again, it goes back to how are they going to use him? What are they going to do with the offense? What's the offense going to look like moving forward? I mean, the one good thing is Randall Cobb is an old quarterback. Randall Cobb, he's out of Kentucky.
He was a quarterback at Kentucky.
That's right. He's a guy that's done a lot of different things, man. And so I would be very surprised if Randall Cobb was limited to just simply a slot like you see in a pro-style offense or like you may see in some of the different spread offenses in today's game. I would think that Tim Kelly could really get creative with Randall Cobb and use him in some of the different RPOs, and some of the different read game stuff. And so he's got some like a little Swiss Army knife type of skill set to him. And if they can get creative with him, you know, I think you can get some pretty serious value out of him.
See, you know, Clint, a lot of people wondered if he was done after his final year in Green Bay, and I think last year he was able to come back in Dallas and show that he could still play in the league. He's still only 29. My thought with what you just said is you know a lot of these players. You know, a lot of these players look at Julian Edelman, looked at Wes Welker, and said, man, let me get that many targets. Let me have such – I can do that. I know I could put up the numbers that he did. And I bet you Randall Cobb thinks in this offense, if it's a similar offense to New England, that they really like to work the middle of the field the way Brady would with Edelman and Welker. I bet you he believes he can put up that type of production. Are we to a place where Randall Cobb is in the same stratosphere still as a Julian Edelman is playing a slot receiver?
Possibly. I mean, I think he's got the same skill set. He's got some things that Edelman brings to the table. I mean, Edelman is clearly in an offense that highlights the slot position. He's in an offense that the quarterback depends heavily on that guy being the safety net. And so when that's the case, that guy's going to excel. I just don't know that I've yet to see Deshaun Watson be a guy that survived by a slot receiver that can replace the linebackers when they come or can beat a safety one-on-one when he comes out of center field or comes off the hash to cover the slot receiver. I haven't seen Deshaun Watson execute in that style of offense consistently over time. So again, it just hinges on what their plan is offensively and how they're going to incorporate him. But I think he's definitely got some of the strengths that the Edelmans and the Welkers of the world have had for sure. He's one of the better slots that have played in this league in a long time.
One of the things that he said today, and we're kind of reacting to a little bit of things that we've read and heard from the Randall Cobb media session today. One of the things he said, though, that caught my ears that stuck out to me is when his response to the Hopkins trade. You know, when I first read it, I thought, oh God, he's a little delusional. He thinks he's comparable, or people are going to look at him like he is Deshaun or DeAndre Hopkins. And I know you've been saying it, and we've been saying it, trying to bang the head. He is not a replacement for him. He is, like he said, completely different receivers. They're completely, totally different receivers. But I love what he said when he's talking about looking forward to the challenge. I've always liked his mentality. And when I first heard it, Clint, we discussed this about Will Fuller yesterday. I was just thinking, I hope that this is the mindset that Will Fuller has, that this is the mindset of, all right, we know, we understand all eyes is going to be on us. Pressure is going to be on us. But we are looking forward to it and being realistic about what they can do. That's one of the things. I do think that is a real positive about Randall Cobb, is his mindset, playing in with great teams and great players and understanding, trying to win at the highest level. I think that is a big deal coming from him that I don't think has been highlighted.
Yeah, Randall Cobb's not going to lose any sleep over not getting the opportunity to play with DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, this is a guy that's had a lot of success in the league. This is a guy that is a professional. He's a next level thinker. As I mentioned earlier, he's played some quarterback in his time. I mean, he's a guy that understands that it's a business and that they've got to move beyond DeAndre Hopkins. Now, it's obviously an uphill battle. It's a steep climb. There's no doubt about it. But when it's all said and done, I didn't expect to hear anything other than they're looking forward to the challenge, accepting the challenge, and excited about the season. I mean, that's just the only thing that I could see Randall Cobb ever responding relative to replacing DeAndre Hopkins.
I love his confidence. I tell you
that. I do too. I love it, man.
That's what
no
I
doubt.
Love. I love his confidence. And he, sometimes you hear people say stuff, just say it. Hey, we're looking forward to the challenge. When he said it, thinking about it, listening to him, it really, to me, felt like he is really excited to prove that he could be even better than many people think of. I know we need to give some respect before we go any further. We done got 9 minutes into this show, man. Happy birthday to the OG, right? I don't know how old he's turning. You know what I said? Dusty Baker looks good for his age. Dusty, we found out he's at 70. John looked pretty good, too.
You don't even know how old he is.
I don't know how old John is.
What if he was 28? What if he was 28?
I know John ain't no damn 28. I know that much. John's got to be north of 50. I seen John lean back with that cigar he had in the other day out in his back porch. I said, look at John. Look at laid back. I'm telling you.
Yeah. You don't accumulate those kind of assets in the 20s, do you? They're sitting right there in that pool and that palm trees and that old,
that
old dog that you done made some memories with, man. I tell you, John Lopez, happy birthday, my brother. It's I tell you, John got me in the door at Sports Radio 610 probably 3-4 years ago, man. And I did some TV, me and him and Jackie Sherrill and Barry Switzer and
Jackie Sherrill.
Yeah, man, we all did some TV stuff together back several years ago, and man, I was coming back to Houston to see the family, and Lopez said, man, come on in here and let's do a little radio if you get time. And so I drove in there one day and did some radio with John Lopez, and then started coming in more consistently, and then jumped on with Sean Payne and Pendergast. Payne then, but jumped in with Sean in the afternoons, and the next thing you know, man, I'm part of the Sports Radio 610 family. So. Not only happy birthday to John Lopez, but I thank you, my man, for everything you've done for old Dirty Red.
Yeah, happy birthday. I ever tell you that, man, I keep calling you call yourself Dirty Red. That's my daddy's nickname. Every time you say that,
I think he's a great guy, got great taste.
Yeah, they call him Dirty Red. That's my dad's nickname. That catches me off guard every time I hear you call yourself that.
Man, that's them old boy. I played with a bunch of dudes in college. I played with a bunch of my closer buddies were from Louisiana and one neck of the woods over there or the other. And boy, they all had nicknames and they came up with that Dirty Red.
Yep, and that is crazy. He's from Shreveport. That's where he got his nickname out of Louisiana. Real quick, I didn't even know if you heard about this. Some good news out of the NBA, the Utah Jazz. We knew Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell had tested positive for the coronavirus, but looks like all of their players have been cleared. A couple of other players, I know a player for the Pistons, he was cleared. So those are positive things that they were able to get the treatment they needed, and those guys are no longer having the virus.
Yeah, man, that's big, right? I mean, I think it's big for our country to be aware of. I think what the initial scare was the Utah Jazz Oklahoma City game when we saw it on TV live, players and organizations getting rushed off the floor and the fear set in, and obviously we're right in the middle of this thing right now, but to know that on the back end of it, again, if you're coachable, if you abide by the rules, take care of your health, if you isolate the way you're supposed to isolate, then you look right, got a perfect example right here. The Utah Jazz players and staff have been cleared. It's a step in the right direction. And so for me, man, that's just proof in the pudding right there that if you do it the right way, we can all move forward in a positive manner for the most part and get through this thing.
Yep. It's a great thing to see because it just kind of shows how fast and how when they did things right, like you said, when you're saying coachable, like keeping yourself away from others, how quickly they were able to get rid of it with the treatment. So that is a real positive thing. One way, man, we appreciate you so much for listening to us. We hope that you're finding the easiest way to do that, and that is by downloading the radio.com app. Download the radio.com app, hit the search pad, say, hey, Sports Radio 610. Then you can find us and listen all day from morning to middays to afternoon, all night. You can find your way and listen to Sports Radio 610, Houston's sports leader, and that's the best way to do it, by downloading the radio.com app. All right, I was listening to Daniel Jeremiah, and it was a comment that he made about Deshaun Watson that got me really, really excited, Clint. Got me really, really excited. Please don't shoot this excitement down, Clint. Please don't shoot it down. We'll get into that next. Oh, Clint Sterner, run the show. Hughley B-Mac producing this. All right, Clint, I got two things real quick I want to get to. You want to hear the really, really happy news, or you want to hear the tough to deal with happy news first?
The really, really happy, good happy news. I don't like that tough to deal with stuff.
All right. Carlos Correa and his foundation has donated $500,000 worth of medical equipment to the city of Houston on Friday. It helps with the coronavirus. So this is another guy throughout the entire issue with the scandal who stood out as the go-to guy, and then doing work like this again. $500,000 worth of medical equipment to the city of Houston from your shortstop Carlos Correa.
I saw earlier in the week where him and Lance McCullers had fed a group of first responders, nurses, frontliners. So it don't just stop there. I got a little bit giddy. I'm not gonna lie to you, man. I wasn't a big Carlos Correa, Daniela fan before. I was pretty critical, probably to a fault. I saw him yesterday playing basketball at Carlos Correa's place, and yeah, that nice little video
stuff.
There.
Yeah, he threw stuff to the fence.
Yeah, he threw it to the fence. But for the first time, I can honestly say that I saw one of those videos from Carlos and I smiled. Usually, I just want to turn it off and move to the next one. Like, come on, man.
Really?
But for whatever reason, Carlos is my dude. Now, Carlos can't do any wrong, man.
You did. Hold on. When he proposed to her?
Yeah, the whole deal, like leading up to the whole deal, the YouTube channel and all that kind of stuff. He was staying injured and all this and all that, and I just couldn't. I was just like, man, come on, Carlos. I'm going to be honest with you. I wasn't a big Carlos Correa fan, and a lot of it had to do with all that silly off-the-field YouTube channel type of stuff he was doing. And all that went away. All of that went away when he stepped to the mic in spring training and handled business the way that I can respect a man handling business. And so now, can't do any wrong, man. YouTube away. You can YouTube away, brother. All good. You're all good in my eyes, man.
You talked about him and Lance McCullers feeding people. Also, Deshaun Watson feeding a lot of people as well today. And here is the tougher to deal with happy news from DeAndre Hopkins to my new Arizona family. I can't wait until everything settles down so I can get out there and play in front of all of you. Until then, I wanted to do my part for my new community and donate $150,000 to the Arizona Coronavirus Relief Fund. Stay safe. Rise up, Red Sea. That's from DeAndre Hopkins.
Stay safe. Rise up, Red Sea.
That's their little hashtag. Yeah, that's it.
That's nice. That's nicely done, right? I can appreciate a good hashtag. Yeah, I mean, that came out smooth right there.
Yeah, he's ready. He was prepared and ready to go for that. But no, man, we had Daniel Jeremiah on yesterday, and yeah, you could still head to the website and look that up. It's on the podcast page. A really good interview with Daniel Jeremiah, the NFL Network former scout and also former quarterback, apparently from Louisiana Monroe.
That's right, and Appalachian State.
And Appalachian State. But he said something, Clint, where he said he has no concern of Deshaun Watson not being a Houston Texan for a very long time. And I think that should make a lot of Texans fans happy, and it makes me happy. I like Deshaun with the Texans. I like how everything is shaking up. I think it's a perfect city for a guy like that. I like him here. And that makes me happy because, Clint, I'm not going to lie to you. Everything that has happened within the last 10 days, I was not certain that this is a guy who would just say, yeah, I'm open to signing a long-term deal. I'm open to being here for a long time. And to hear Daniel Jeremiah say that somebody's keyed in, that made me excited.
Yeah, I can see where you know that would, I mean, create a little excitement. I mean, I don't know, man. I believe that the concern for Deshaun Watson being real excited about signing long term here, I think that's real. I really do. I think it has a lot more to do than just DeAndre Hopkins. I think it has more to do if you sit down, if him and his crew sits down and they evaluate what's gone on the last two or three years in Houston. I mean, you really got to have some questions answered over the next year or two before you decide to lock in full time long term. I mean, I don't think that's a stretch. I think that's a real, that is a real conversation that's being had, and a real hurdle that the organization is going to have to overcome. Mm. Now, I do believe that when you, when we really evaluate the situation with Deshaun Watson, is the opportunity that's here to take this whole thing, take the bull by the horn, so to speak, for Deshaun Watson is there. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that have been missing up to this point, but when you talk about the opportunity to take this receiving core over, whoever it may be, and take them to the next level, that is here. You got a new offensive coordinator that you should have a very good relationship with. The opportunity for this offensive unit to do more things that you're comfortable doing, the opportunity should be there more this year than it's ever been there in your career in the NFL. And so there are a lot of concerns, show, but to me, there's a lot of opportunity that is staring Deshaun Watson in the face. And here's the kicker, is if Deshaun Watson takes it and runs and he's the guy that you and I think he is, then beautiful things can happen for the Houston Texans. If he stays put and doesn't mature and develop to that level where he's ready to take an entire organization by the horns, then it could get ugly sooner rather than later. So that we'll see what ends up happening, but there's an opportunity there for some serious good to happen for sure with Deshaun Watson.
See, it seems like to me that you feel like your concern level's a little higher than Daniel Jeremiah's, that really not, no matter what Bill O'Brien and the organization does, that could impact more than he believes, that could impact decisions by Deshaun. Because I think you bring up, and I don't think you bring this up on coincidence or on accident. When you bring up decisions with Deshaun, there are other people around Deshaun Watson who has his ear. So it's not just because you always say him and his team or his people making decisions. So you seem like you're a little bit more concerned than Daniel Jeremiah is about Deshaun and the people around him. And hey, the organization just can't just keep making these moves that appear to seem silly. Can't keep making these moves and think that he's just going to stay.
Yeah, you know, I think when you get a response from Daniel Jeremiah, like right now, like I think that response that he gave us was heavily weighted towards, look, is a team trading DeAndre Hopkins really going to run off your franchise quarterback? The answer to that is no, right? But when you take into account several different things that have happened specifically to Deshaun Watson, that I believe that the people that are in his ear and the people that are in his world are 100% aware of, and the fact that it's not necessarily been the best scenario for a quarterback to have success, they're aware of that. I mean, they're aware of that, and that's got to change in order for Deshaun Watson to reach the potential that he has. I mean, and I just think we would be fools to sit around here and go, oh, well, Deshaun Watson is going to be here because he wants that big money, and this is just where he's going to be. He doesn't, none of that other stuff matters. No, I disagree. I think when you lump it all together, I think it matters more than we probably mention on a day-to-day basis. And it's something that's got to be overcame sooner rather than later, because they're running out of time relative to whether he's going to be here long-term or not.
This is something I'm really curious from your opinion. I'm going to try to state this the best way that I possibly can. Looking at their situation, let's say in Seattle, if it came down to Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll, and they came to the guys who make the decision in Seattle, and there was some disagreement between the two, and it basically came down to, we can't have both those guys in the organization, I am 100% sure that Russell Wilson would win that battle. Same thing in Kansas City. And I mean, and I know Andy Reid is one of the most accomplished coaches we have. He still wouldn't win a battle if it became down to him and Andy. Here in Houston, if it became Deshaun and Bill, with the people who make decisions. Not saying it's going to, but I'm just saying if ever that were the case, who do you think would win that battle?
I don't know internally who would be the favorite. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what Cal McNair would do or say, but I got to believe at this point in time, moving forward, let's say it goes another year and things aren't getting better, then I think the only logical way to answer that question is that Bill O'Brien would have to be gone. I mean, you're talking about an offensive-minded head coach that's been here 6-7 years, and you're at a stalemate where the offense is essentially keeping the quarterback from developing to the level that you think he could develop to. So I would think if that were the case, then Deshaun would probably win that.
And
Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, it's just crazy, Clip, because automatically, like, Aaron Rodgers won that battle between him and McCarthy. All right, it became clear that
you're talking about a Super Bowl winner too.
Yeah, and the face of the franchise, like I would just believe, like, Bill can make all of these moves he wants, but if it were to come down to the two of them, I think everyone in the league would say, well, all right, you got to side with the young quarterback, the young elite quarterback. I wasn't so sure about. I'm still, even with Jeremiah, I'm still not so completely sold that yes, it would automatically be that Deshaun would win that out. I'm not completely sold because KB has a lot of power. When I say KB, I mean King Bill. He has a lot of power,
and at a moment when we think it should shrink, it expands. So yeah, look, there's no doubt about it, man. Like it's my man keeps getting more and more powerful, and you just hope that he can stay out of the way of Tim Kelly, let Tim Kelly do his thing, and that Tim Kelly effect is enough to get him over the hump. I mean, ultimately, that's where they're sitting right now. If that happens, it'll be a beautiful thing, and we'll salute the hell out of Bill O'Brien for stepping aside and allowing Tim Kelly to do his thing. If not, then we'll be cussing and discussing, I'm sure.
Yes, sir. I wonder, have we reached the understanding of this? There's a portion of the team that has always been problematic, both locally and nationally. But I wonder, have we been able to admit to ourselves that this is actually one of the real strengths of the Houston Texans football team? I'll let you know what that is coming up next. Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley, B-Mac producing this bad boy. If you missed it, Randall Cobb spoke to the media earlier today. We'll have some stuff a little bit later on to hear some of the things he said. You don't want to miss later on in this segment about things he said about playing with Deshaun Watson, some of the reasons why he chose to become a Houston Texan. But, Clint, I want to push this to you, man. Everybody talks about the Houston Texans offensive line because it was so poor at times. You've described in the past, sometimes a quarterback, as soon as he grabs the ball, couldn't even get to his fourth step before he's already got two people in his face, people just completely whiffing. The offensive line was rough. But I think people, because they remember that, continue to believe that it is still rough. And still think, I heard someone talking about in the draft, talking about, yeah, they still have to do things to help that offensive line. Clint, man, have we reached a point where the Texans' offensive line, with everything that has happened in this offseason, is a major strength on this team?
I mean, you know, I hear the same things that you hear. And I don't want to say it's a major strength, but when I look down at reports and O-line is a need on this team, I just don't see it. I really don't. I mean, I think is there room to improve? Yeah. I mean, sure, there's room to improve at, you know, you look at the right guard position where Zach Fulton was and, you know, that some people aren't they weren't happy with his play throughout the year, maybe. But I think every team throughout a season in today's NFL, boy, if you throw five offensive linemen across there, you're going to be able to pick one or maybe even two of them and go, well, he struggled a little bit this year, and this guy struggled a little bit last year, and we got to get together. I just don't see like needs. You know what I mean? Like, I don't look at him and go, man, what are they going to do at right guard? Like last year, you looked at it and you were like, what are you going to do at left tackle? What are you going to do at right tackle? What are you going to do at really every position except for center, right? Yeah. And you had some guys that were playing good, but they were undersized at the guard position. You're like, well, that's nice, but you're still undersized. What are you going to do? When you look at the team right now, I don't feel like it's a problem. And when they're healthy, the fact that you can roll Titus Howard, Laremy Tunsil, Max Sharping, Nick Martin, the fact that you can roll those four cats out there right now, and then you got a question mark at the right guard position, but the fact that you can roll those four cats out there right now, if they stay healthy, I think this offensive line has got a really, really good chance to be special. It's convenient in Houston to pick on the offensive line because Deshaun Watson is difficult to play O-line for. Deshaun Watson is a guy that holds a football too long. Along with some of the scheme things that I've mentioned over the last year, I think the combination of those two things makes it very difficult to protect the quarterback in Houston. But I believe when you set them down one to one, I believe this offensive line has a chance to be really, really good. And here's the thing is I think you got a chance to with Titus Howard at right tackle. I think the tackle position is the right one for him. But if you somehow find a way to bring in maybe one of the older tackles that can be a swing tackle, and you get the ability to bump him down to guard if you need to, you've got some real flexibility across that offensive line as well. So, yeah, I think it's one of the strengths of the team, and it's got a chance to be even better because they're young at a couple of spots.
All right. I there's something I want to get to, but I there's something interesting you said there. How much would you say, what percentage would you say that Deshaun hurts the offensive line with the way he plays?
Oh man, what percentage?
I don't think it's like 70, but like, you know.
I mean, I think Deshaun could avoid. I think the Texans could avoid 25%+ of their sacks. Mm. I think when you look
nice percentage.
That's a nice chunk, right? I mean, but you got to realize that they're giving up a boatload. So I mean, you're talking about 10 or 12 sacks over the year. You know, that's a big number, but yeah, I believe that. I think that's fair. I mean, there's some guys out there that I'm sure study the PFF guys and all these guys that study all the different percentages and snap counts and who's getting double teamed more than anybody else. And they'll probably have a little different story for you. But when I look at it, I would say when you watch a game of Deshaun Watson, and he gets sacked four times, I think it's safe to say that at the very least, one of those sacks is his. The very least. Holding the ball too long, not seeing the pressure. And a lot of it is maybe, you know, seeing the fact that you're getting heated up, you've got protection, you've got time, and you take the riskier move and try to bail the pocket and go make a big play instead of just executing cleanly and getting the ball out and moving forward, you try to make the big play. Those are things that he's still got to develop through. He's got a long way to go to get better with a lot of those things. And so, man, I would say 25% of the sacks. And if you gave me a chance, I would probably say it's mid 30%. I mean, of the sacks are on Deshaun Watson.
That's interesting because I remember reading something last year, and when I say this name, it'll just be like, well, that didn't make sense when you think about the type of player Deshaun is. But they say like Philip Rivers would cause like 40% of his sacks because he's just not moving. He's just there in the pocket, and even guys when they have it blocked well, you can get to him because he just has no mobility. And that's weird when you think about how close Deshaun would be to that with the amazing amount of mobility that he has.
Yeah, you know, the mobility aspect of it is interesting, man. If you can really find a happy medium, because right now, show what happens is teams know coming in that they can cloud up Deshaun Watson, and they can bring numbers and twist and everything inside and make it really cloudy for Deshaun Watson and create all kind of chaos right in front of Deshaun Watson. And odds are he's not going to dump the ball over your head. He's not going to dump the ball quick and in the back get outside containment. And next thing you know, the back's Austin Eckler's 40 yards down the field or something. You know what I mean? Deshaun doesn't do those kind of things. So what they do is they take all the chaos, they make it real cloudy for Deshaun Watson. And yeah, sometimes it bites him in the ass. Sometimes he'll hit him for a big gain, and dang it, that's just the story of Deshaun Watson. But when teams know that they know he's going to hold it, you know, they know that he's going to break the pocket and try to break contain and make plays with his feet and that kind of thing outside the pocket, I think he becomes one-dimensional the wrong way. Does that make sense?
No.
So instead of – like, you don't have to worry about if you come off the slot on Deshaun Watson that the Texans are going to side adjust and he's going to dump it. You know what I mean? If you come off the slot, now what you risk is the back picking you up and Deshaun Watson buying a couple of seconds, and now he pops you over the top for a 50-yard touchdown, right? But just very rarely do you see, hey, I identify the blitz, I see you coming, bink, let me take this little dump off right here. And go make some hay. You know, that's just not what Deshaun Watson has done, and the Texans have done to this point, is execute consistently in that nature. And they've got to do that. Deshaun's got to get better at that to ultimately make his job easier. Deshaun Watson goes about this thing. And this is what's crazy, is he plays a very difficult style of quarterback. Like, it's difficult. Like, what he does, accompanied with the Texan scheme stuff, I mean, it is difficult. I mean, it's physically difficult. It's the throws that you see him make a lot of the time that keep him in games, or maybe even will win a game, like the New Orleans throw that kept him in the game. I mean, those are like, you might complete that 7% of the time, and this dude puts it on the money to actually put his team up at the time. So, I mean, it's just a very difficult brand of quarterback he plays, and he's got to learn to make it easier on himself.
And what we're talking about is just, have we reached a point where the offensive line is a major strength? And I'm interested. My thoughts on this is, I think their tackles have a chance to be two of the best tackles. Yeah. Titus Howard is healthy, like the combination in the league. I think, you tell me if I'm off base on this. You've watched these guys more than I have. I think Laremy Tunsil has all pro potential at left tackle.
True.
I think, and when I say all pro potential, damn it, I mean next year. I think he's had that type of potential, and I think Titus Howard has Pro Bowl potential. Not all pro, but could make somebody's Pro Bowl. And if you have that at center is in good hands, in my opinion. But if you have that, those are the two most important positions on the offensive line. If you have that in your tackles, I feel really, really, really good about that.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. I mean, you put, if Titus Howard can stay healthy, you know, I think the sky's the limit for that, for big dude. I think that being a professional for a year, he's gonna look like a total different player next year, which you hope will lend itself to being healthier, being able to stay healthy. But yeah, I think that's very fair. I think it would not surprise me one bit if down the road, if Titus Howard ended up being a Pro Bowl offensive lineman in some way, shape, or form. And look, big boy Laremy Tunsil, big boy's there. I mean, he was what was Sporting News All Pro last year, which is, I think that's voted on by the coaches.
Yeah.
I mean, one of two players, one of two tackles that was vote that made that team. He's already in that top two, top three caliber tackles as it stands right now.
Yeah, those guys getting a full year to play together again, I think it's a strength. I do want to get to the newest Texan, Randall Cobb.
Yeah,
was able to speak to the media today. And there are a couple of things that he said. I first want to dive in and let you all hear why he chose to come to Houston over other places. Hey, Clint, that's Randall Cobb addressing why he came. And he said he wants to win a ring here. Folks, this was after the DeAndre Hopkins trade. This was after that. and he still sees this as a possibility to win a ring, right? We know he could have gone back to Dallas, and that's a team where Jerry's just going to try to do whatever it takes. But he decided to come here even after the trade of Hopkins because he believes in Deshaun Watson so much. I think that should be an uplifting thought to hear from a veteran from Texans fan.
Yeah, look, there's no doubt about it, baby. Look, when we talk about all the negative things that we've had to chop up as of late, I mean, to be reminded, I think is the right way to put it, to be reminded that you got a quarterback that guys want to play with and believe we got a quarterback in Houston that guys believe can win a Super Bowl. I mean, you've got a quarterback in Houston that guys like Randall Cobb who have played with Dak Prescott, who have played with Aaron Rodgers, who have played with some of the best of the best in the game, you know, they choose to come to Houston and play with Deshaun Watson. And for the record, just everybody out there listening, that's the number one cut. That's the number one cut from the press conference or the conference call today. So that was the first thing off his chest was Super Bowl and Deshaun Watson. So it's I know in a time like when you watch DeAndre Hopkins walk out the door, it's easy to get frustrated with it and get stuck in that rut. But you still got a quarterback that folks want to play with.
Yeah, he chose to come here. That's an explained why. Also, I think this is very, very – as you talked about DeAndre Hopkins walking out the door and all of the things that he brings off the field. We've heard Deshaun Watson talk about how much of a leader he is and how much he's helped him and taught him. This is what Randall Cobb said he thinks he's bringing to the table.
I love it, Show. I love it from a perspective of Deshaun Watson. All the things that we've talked about Deshaun Watson struggling with you know, mentally taking his game to the next level, and obviously the schematics that he struggled with. We just got through talking about the offensive line, and I just got to believe that a veteran slot receiver with that kind of approach to the game of football is going to be so beneficial for Deshaun Watson in terms of, hey man, give me the damn ball. Like it ain't an option. Like when they bring four from the same side of the offense that I'm on, I'm going to see it. I'm going to give you my eyes. I'm going to run whatever adjustment you need me to run. You just make sure you get that damn thing to me. Like not leave any options for Deshaun Watson to kind of do his own thing. You know, that's the kind of guy that could possibly help him and this offense take the next step.
Yeah. I can't believe it's been 10 years since he was 10. At Kentucky. Yep. That caught me off guard. I know Randall Cobb's been playing a long time. Was he on that Super Bowl team? With the Packers? Was that more than 10 years ago?
No, yeah, because he just said he hadn't won a Super Bowl. So, yeah,
he wasn't on that team. Yeah, but he's played. That's the thing, man. That's the thing that I don't think goes away. He's played with maybe the most talented quarterback we've seen in league history up until Patrick Mahomes came. He's played with Aaron Rodgers, one of the all-time greats. And he looked at this team and said, that kid – is somebody that I think could be an all-time great. I want to come here, and I know in my head what it's like to play with a guy like that and how that guy can be helped. I think that can't go unnoticed.
No doubt about it. Before we go to break, just let us hit you with a quick reminder for all of you. I know you're not in your car, more than likely not in your car, traveling back and forth to work, but we want to let you know that you can still listen to Sports Radio 610. Through the radio.com app. All you got to do is download it to your phone. That's radio.com app, just as it sounds. And you download that sucker to your phone, and then you search Sports Radio 610, and bam, you got us right there where you put us in your pocket, take us wherever you go. Or if you're around the house, you can just shout out to Alexa and tell her to play Sports Radio 610, and then bang, you got us right there breaking good bread with you while you're with the family. Locked inside on this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day in Houston. Show, take this thing away, my brother.
Oh, Clint, Antonio Brown was in the news again yesterday, and I feel like there's a connection to the Texans that I want to talk about. We'll get into that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.